And a very good morning out there in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here, coming to you live from our studios at the famous location of 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, OH 43302. But when it comes to radio stations, we are definitely number one. And we thank you very much for lending an ear today. I can assure you, as I am fond of saying, your ears and brain cells and your sense of humor will certainly thank you. We call this program Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. This is middle of the morning, and if you're like me, you drink entirely too much of that delicious Java stuff. I am taking your telephone calls, and we have open phone lines. Talk about what you wish. I am all ears, and I promise you I will provide any opinions or feedback that you might request. And you might ask, well, what is the telephone number here at the radio station? Well, that's a good question. And that phone number is 740-383-WWGH. That's 740-383-9944. We can talk about the Robert Landon situation. Martin Watts currently doing a fine job in the auditor's office. He was on with Scott recently. Excellent interview. We thank Martin for taking time out of his busy day to speak with our very own interviewer to the stars and interviewer to the politicians. We can talk about sports. World Series, two teams from the South for a bit of a unique matchup. I still think of Houston as being a National League rival of my team, and also Scott's team, the Cincinnati Reds, but they're playing the Braves, and may the best team be victorious. Ohio State had a very convincing, if not walloping, victory on Saturday. We can certainly talk about that, as they're certainly up to their old tricks. And yesterday in the NFL, also some many fine games, with always a surprise or two. I did watch the Sunday night football game. Always enjoy Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, two of the best sportscasters in any sport that I've ever heard. Chris Collinsworth, a Cincinnati guy, and Al Michaels, a classy veteran, no other way to say it. I mean, he is certainly one of the best. Speaking of one of the best, Scott did speak to a gentleman who wrote a book about certainly an idol of mine, Mr. Joe Nuxall, who was also the youngest player ever to appear in a major league game. Legendary broadcaster. I listened to Marty and Joe every night for years, and Joe sorely missed, and Marty Brenneman enjoying his retirement, but he does make a lot of appearances in and around the Cincinnati area. So, hope you enjoyed that broadcast. You know, with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, you never quite know exactly whom might be on the other end of the phone, or maybe even live in the studio. Daddy Wags from QFM 96 live in the studio last week. So with this radio station, if you miss a day, you never quite know what you did not have the opportunity, pleasure, and privilege to feast an ear on. Adam here, not quite the interviewer to the stars that my colleague Scott Spears is, but we have a good time anyway. So again, we can talk about the football games, the Ohio State walloping victory, the NFL games, the upcoming World Series with two Southern teams, one of whom I still think of as being in the National League, and that being the Houston Astros. We can talk about the Landon and Martin Watts auditor city government situation, or we can talk about, certainly one of my favorite topics, the masking, quarantining, whether or not to get a vaccine issue. That certainly is one that generates a lot of controversy. We all have an opinion. You probably know what my opinion is, and if yours is different, that's okay. I love to debate. Not a problem one bit. In fact, I called Scott Spears last week, and I debated about the mask issue. And I think I kind of held my own, because, you know, Scott Spears, he is not an easy interviewer, to say the least. And, of course, there is also the Geraldo Rivera situation, where the station manager said, I've heard about your little station. Well, how dare he call this a little station? I'm sorry, we're in Marion, Ohio, not in Cleveland. I'll agree, Marion is a small town compared to the bustling metropolis of Cleveland. However, that does not mean that the radio station is little. In fact, this radio station is ginormous, or as Donald Trump would say, it is huge. I'd like to know how many times a former governor comes by WTAM and shoots the breeze and does a podcast with members of that station. I'd like to know how many times the woman who was instrumental in redesigning our money, that is Mary Ellen Withrow, comes by and speaks with members of our staff. And she's a friend of the station. I'm proud to call her at least an acquaintance of mine. I'd like to know how many times she comes by and talks to the personnel at WTAM. I'd like to know how many times that the personnel of WTAM speak to Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby, in fact, did his second audio interview with Scott. So they want to call this a little station. Take a look and see what we do here in Marion, Ohio. I'll give them that. The city is much bigger. However, the station, as far as I'm concerned, is bigger in the county, which is between Columbus and Findlay. And again, that, of course, would be Marion. You can listen to this station over the air the old-fashioned way, which is the way that I prefer to do so, 107.1 on your FM dial. Our signal reaches pretty much anywhere in the county, and on a good day, you can get it in Upper, you can get it in Northern Delaware County, Bucyrus, etc. Or if you're anywhere else, or you just prefer to be a little more high-tech, and that's okay, because I'm a pretty high-tech kind of a guy, you can go to our website, WWGH1071.com. You will see the little button that says click here to listen, and you can go ahead and do that at your heart's content. All you need is a browser and, of course, internet access. If you have a smart device, you can use the TuneIn app. Look for WWGH 107.1, and you can listen that way. So many possibilities. Again, maybe the people in Cleveland think that we're little, but I take issue with that. We are ginormous, with more ginormousness to come. And I'm here at the Talking Place, very proud of this radio station. And again, knowing what Scott can accomplish, I have mentioned this on the air before and will reiterate it. I believe that our favorite mustached man, that would be Geraldo, will be stepping into the studio sometime before Thanksgiving to be on the air with us. Myself or Glenn will be happy to transport him anywhere within reason to the great city of Marion. So stay tuned. The Geraldo saga continues, and again, I believe before long he will be on the air here, and you can imagine a show featuring Scott Spears and Geraldo, and maybe Glenn, maybe myself, will certainly be a radio extravaganza for the ages. So if you'd like to comment on Scott's quest to get the legendary broadcaster Geraldo Rivera on the air here at WWGH, that is one of the topics that you can discuss. And I would love to hear from you. 740-383-WWGH. You can also send a message on our radio station Facebook page, or if you're a Facebook friend of mine, go ahead and message me, and I'll be happy to have the discourse of your liking, if that makes any sense. Adam here at the Talking Place, WWGH, thanking you always for listening. We get together every Tuesday, Thursday, and Monday to talk technology, interesting news stories. Sometimes we make fun of people. With me, there's always a joke or a wisecrack, and every show on this station, at least three times an hour, features a surprise. Monday, 10:15 to 11, Tuesday and Thursday, 2:15 to 3. And again, I'm live in the studio, our famous location without the sign, but that'll be fixed soon, at 523 South Prospect Street, the beautiful near south side of Marion, Ohio. Thank you so much for listening today. And don't be shy. Give me a call. Again, we can talk politics. We can talk Buckeye football, NFL, the Baseball World Series. Are professional athletes overpaid? We can talk about the weather. It seems to to finally have become fall after a very summery start to October. We can talk about masks and vaccinations and government regulations related to medical issues. Or you can also try to stump the DJ, see if you can ask me a question about music from the 73 to 1987 period, and see if I can answer your question. Ask me to sing a few bars of a tune, etc. I do enjoy a challenge because, you know, a brain, just like any other part of the body, if you don't exercise it, it will become less useful than it was previously. Current time at the studio, 26 minutes after 10 on a somewhat damp but not too bad Monday in late October. In fact, it's only 2 months until Christmas. And, you know, I could use a lot of different things for Christmas. If you would like to send me a present, again, feel free to drop it off at our studio. I do accept gifts and other items that would be beneficial to yours truly. Coming up on Thursday, between about 7:10 and 9, we present Candidates Night 2021, broadcast live on this very station. You can also listen live on the internet at WWGH1071.com by downloading the free TuneIn app. It will feature a discussion debate format for candidates running for city council and treasurer. Scott Spears will be moderating the event. I will also likely be present. How about that? And we'll feature questions from Mitch Hooper, the reporter from the Marion Star, who's been such a good friend to this station. You can also submit questions live on the air beginning at 7 p.m. on Thursday the 28th by calling us and speaking with the operator. Glenn Coble, Linda Sims, Sean Kraft, Angie Evers, and Terry Tackett will also be present. Don't want to miss that radio event. An exclusive here at the station that WTAM in Cleveland calls little, but I call ginormous. So there. Adam here in the Talking Place, taking your telephone calls about politics, current events, baseball, football. Take a pick. I am all ears. 740-383-WWGH. Tomorrow is a drive-through dinner in Waldo at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 135 West Main Street in Waldo. A warm meal in a container that you can take home will be provided free of charge. Just stop by the church. It will be delivered to your car. That's tomorrow, Tuesday the 26th of October, 5 to 6:30 in the late afternoon, early evening hours, St. Paul's, 135 West Main in Waldo. I tell you, for someone who has not eaten yet, but I more than likely will be going to a buffet in town, you know, the one that's next to Harbor Freight Hardware, if you know which one that is, after the show, because that's what I normally do when I come in on Monday. But for someone who has not eaten yet, this is starting to sound very tasty. Chili soup, ham and cheese sandwich, crackers, banana pudding for dessert, and bottled water. Pull up to the door facing the parking lot. The meal will be delivered to your vehicle. Everyone is welcome. Tomorrow, 5 to 6:30 p.m., St. Paul's in Waldo, 135 West Main Street. Adam here at the Talking Place reminding you that just like Hillary and Melania, we have a private email server. But unlike Hillary, we don't delete any messages, at least not the ones that are useful, and that's pretty much all of them. We read every single one. So you're welcome to email me about any topic that you wish, even to say, hi, Adam, how you doing? Adam at WWGH1071.com. And if you'd like to email Scott, the interviewer to the stars, that's okay. He would be glad to hear from you. That would actually be encouraged. Scott at WWGH1071.com. We're talking about football, baseball, and all the great sports going on this time of the year. A few weeks ago, the most notable catch in the game between Miami and Appalachian State did not even happen on the field. It wasn't even a football. So you might ask, what was this unique catch? Well, it was a cat. That's right. The cat somehow got into Hard Rock Stadium, then got caught by one of its paws off the facade of the upper deck in the first quarter. It eventually fell to the lower level of the stadium, where fans using an American flag as a makeshift net of sorts were able to catch it before it was carried off to safety. Craig Cromer, a facilities manager at the University of Miami and a season ticket holder, said they were trying to grab it from above and they could not reach it, but they were scaring it downward. Along with his wife, Kimberly, he brings a flag to each home game. He said it hung there for a little while with its two front paws. That was the cat, not the flag. Then one paw. And then I was like, oh my goodness, it's coming soon. That's when Craig and his wife, Kimberly, unhooked the flag from the ties that they used to keep it on a railing and hoped for the best. The cat, who at that point was a scaredy cat, fell, bounced a bit off the flag, and eventually was secured by some in the nearby student section before being brought away by stadium security workers. CBSSports.com's Waji Al-Baroudi said, "The fan held the animal up to the crowd in Lion King-like fashion and earned as loud a round of applause and cheers as those after a Canes touchdown." That would be the Miami Hurricanes. Miami coach Manny Diaz said he learned of the cat incident after the game, and the Hurricanes held on, beating Appalachian State by a narrow margin, 25-23. Coach Diaz said, "I don't know anything about that or what was going on, but I'll tell you, if the cat will help us in our red zone offense, I'm going to see if we can give it a scholarship." That would be quite generous, I think. The cat was not showing any signs of injury, the Cromers, other than a spilled beverage and getting sprayed by the dangling cat, were otherwise fine. Kimberly said, "Strangest thing that's ever happened at a game." So I guess that would give new meaning to the term scaredy cat, but you know, cats are pretty daring and they are pretty resilient. They have 9 lives, so maybe they should recruit the cat, give the cat a uniform, and participate in the game. Now we do have species of big cats that are team nicknames. In nearby Detroit, the Lions. And of course, in nearby Cincinnati, my team, the Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So maybe they're onto something, that a cat would actually be a beneficial member of an NFL team. That was a college game in the city of Miami, Florida. Adam here, discussing the events of the day and recent times and anything else that might be of interest here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. One thing I'm also doing during this program is providing free assistance on any computer or technologically related issues that you might have. You won't have to slide your credit card through your phone. You won't have to send me a check. You won't have to make a paper airplane out of a $20 bill and send it to me. I will provide you with free assistance, because that's the kind of guy that I am. Give me a ring here, 740-383-9944, and I'll be happy to provide that kind of assistance. You might ask, what are the kind of issues that people might have with their technology? Well, maybe your Windows computer is such a piece of junk, or you think it's a piece of junk, that you'd like to throw it out the window. Maybe your server is only serving you headaches. Maybe your printer is not printing anything other than gibberish. Maybe your Macintosh has become a Mac in trash. Maybe your mouse is going squeak, squeak, and you'd like to destroy it with a mouse trap. Those are all the kind of things that I can assist you with. Or maybe your smartphone has become your not-so-smartphone. That's fine. All those kinds of issues can be addressed on this program. Again, feel free to give me a call. I'll put on my Adam the Computer Guy hat. I won't charge you anything. 740-383-WWGH. 35 minutes after 10, 25 before 11 here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, the Vietnam Veterans of America will have a breakfast on Saturday, which I believe is the 30th of October. It's the last Saturday of the month, which they do every month, 7:30 to 10:30 a.m. this Saturday at the VFW, 1614 Marysville Road, and that is open to the public. I tell you, here in the great city of Marion, we have so many great community events. I like to cover them as I think it's so important for us to get the word out. So many organizations and people willing to help everybody out, and that's how I see it. As people who live and work and otherwise have a connection to Marion, we're all on the same team. Less divisiveness, more teamwork, more community involvement. And I really applaud all these organizations for having that kind of an attitude. Adam here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Scientists have discovered a gigantic prehistoric relative of the horseshoe crab in the 500-million-year-old Burgess Shale in Canada, according to a study published several weeks ago. So this creature, a gigantic prehistoric relative of the horseshoe crab, is believed to have been one of the largest of its time, surpassing other previously discovered prehistoric crabs. Paleontologists at the Royal Ontario Museum named the new species Titanochorus guineensis. If I'm pronouncing that right, but it's still a pretty cool name, Titanochorus guineensis, and dated it to the Cambrian period, which was between 541 and 485.4 million years ago. And that produced the most intense burst of evolution ever seen. While most ocean-dwelling organisms in the period were no larger than a pinky finger, the Titanochorus was over half a meter in length. Boys and girls, that would be approximately 17 inches or more. So that would be quite the large horseshoe crab. Jean-Bernard Caron, the museum's curator of invertebrate paleontology and an associate professor in ecology and evolutionary biology and earth sciences in the University of Toronto. That's quite a big title for this gentleman. Anyway, Professor Caron said in a press release, "The sheer size of this animal is absolutely mind-boggling. This is one of the biggest animals, the Cambrian period, that we've ever found. Both the Titanochorus and the Anomalocaris were radiodonts." Now, that doesn't relate to this kind of radio. That just relates to the type of animal that they were. And you might ask, what are radiodonts? They were primitive arthropods with multifaceted eyes, a pineapple slice-shaped tooth-lined mouth, a pair of spiny claws below its head to capture prey, and a body with a series of flaps for swimming. These enigmatic animals certainly had a big impact on Cambrian seafloor ecosystems. Their limbs at the front looked like multiple stacked rakes and would have been very efficient at bringing anything they captured in their tiny spines toward their mouth. Some species of radiodonts also had large head carapace, or defensive shells, and Titanochorus has one of the largest ever found. Unfortunately, scientists have a poor understanding of why some radiodonts have, quote, such a bewildering array of carapace sizes and shapes, but Titanochorus's broad, flat head was probably designed to help it feed on the bottom of the ocean. Good morning. You're on WWGH Radio with Adam.
Yeah, at least one of those things would have made a meal.
Definitely. You know, I love seafood. Some people might say that I'm on the seafood diet, referring to Adam will see food and he will eat it, and that sometimes might be the case. But you could feed, I think you could feed this whole block on that animal. I certainly agree. If I were to find one, I would certainly throw it on the Barbie, as they say in Australia, and have a little picnic for my beloved neighbors. So that's a very good point.
You might have trouble finding a pot, though, to put it in.
That's correct. I would have to purchase...
That's the only bad thing about eating crabs sometimes is that to get a meal, you really got to work at it.
Definitely, but I'm sure between the multitude of retail establishments in this town and, of course, Amazon.com, I would find a cooking receptacle big enough, or I guess I could take some kind of device and separate the parts of this animal and cook each of them separately. Or maybe you'd be so kind to volunteer to be the chef. But yeah, it does sound tasty, and when I'm getting hungry and I see a buffet with my name on it in about an hour.
Were you going to Hong Kong buffet? Is that the one you're going to?
More than likely, that would be my stop.
There sure ain't many buffets around anymore.
Not really, and I used to like to go to the warehouse, and they are no longer around. And of course, just kind of catty quarter from the Hong Kong buffet was the Ponderosa, and you know, I waited and waited for them to open, and I would go there almost every time that I came here. You know, I would actually make an excuse to come to Marion just to go to the Ponderosa because it was so good, and unfortunately, it sort of declined.
In fact, I heard there's a Mexican buffet down around Sunbury.
Yes, there is, and I've been there, and it is really good. Yes, I've been there multiple times, and if you don't mind the short road trip to Sunbury, it is highly recommended. There's also a pizza buffet at the Cheshire Market, which isn't too far from Sunbury, on Tuesday and Thursday, and I have been known to also make an appearance at that fine establishment.
I don't know if Donato still does their buffet or not.
Yeah, the East of Chicago, which was, I guess, renamed, I'm not sure if they have it anymore. So at this point, we're pretty much exclusive with the Hong Kong buffet, and it is very good. There's no question. It's one of the best around.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very good.
Good pricing and very, very nice employees. The food is always fresh. And someone like myself, who is an aficionado of seafood, they have great shrimp and other stuff, which is healthy and low in the calorie department. So... Without question, I've been known to make an appearance there after my program, and there's a pretty good chance if you are popping in there, you might see my smiling face at some point during the late morning and early afternoon hours.
Okay, well, let's go, Adam.
No problem. Thank you so much for calling, and you stay dry out there.
Yep.
Adam here on The Talking Place, taking your telephone calls about whatever would be an interesting topic. I certainly agree that eating one of those large crabs would be quite a delicacy, and we could certainly feed the entire block. Phone number is 740-383-WWGH. Current time is 17 minutes before the hour of 11, exactly 2 months before the Christmas holiday is upon us. Now, of course, nowadays, Christmas pretty much starts after school begins, or certainly after Labor Day. There are lots of Christmas displays. I was at Sam's Club yesterday, and this station will be decorating for Christmas before long. Currently, it kind of looks like a Halloween museum. We have some trick-or-treat sort of Frankenstein characters. We have a mummy. We have a lady in purple. We have cobwebs, we have a plastic skeleton, all kinds of Christmassy memorabilia and paraphernalia and stuff. But, you know, Halloween is kind of a fun event and we all enjoy it. You're never really too old to celebrate Halloween, and in my case, that certainly would be applicable. Coming up at 4 o'clock today, we have our longtime broadcaster, the lovely Linda Sims, with her radio program. She has guests, talks about current events, and other items of interest. She's also on tomorrow, Tuesday, between about 4:13 p.m. and 5, so we certainly encourage you to listen to that program. As I am fond of saying, your brain cells and your ears will certainly thank you. Stunning video of a fireball streaking across the sky above North Carolina back in September has been released. The American Meteor Society shared video from the porch of a home in Rowland Pond, North Carolina, showing a massive fireball falling from the sky. NASA says the fireball fell over the North Carolina coast at around 7:40 p.m. and was one of at least five fireballs seen over the U.S. in the same night. That would certainly be a once-in-a-lifetime sight, not to mention a bit of a surprise and also possibly a bit scary. Fireballs are bright meteors categorized as brighter than the planet Venus. The organization received 148 fireball reports from Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina, nearby West Virginia, and Virginia. So none here in Ohio, but they were to our southeast. This fireball in North Carolina had the largest group of eyewitness accounts, with more than 80 people reporting having seen it. NASA says an analysis of these accounts shows that the meteor was visible 48 miles above the ocean off Camp Lejeune and soared northeast at about 32,000 miles per hour. It traveled 26 miles through Earth's upper atmosphere that disintegrated 28 miles above Morehead City on the coast. That would be quite a spectacle for sure. Meteoroids usually enter the Earth's atmosphere at 25,000 miles per hour, up to 160,000 miles per hour, but rapidly decelerate as they travel through the atmosphere. Now, this fireball was captured in at least two different videos. Nowadays, just whip your phone out and you can take a video of something in case anybody says, "I don't believe you." Well, in 2021, we have the ability to prove that instantly. The one obtained by the American American Meteor Society, not to be confused, of course, with Meteorological Society, because that would relate to the weather. So the one obtained by, let me go ahead and scroll to the story just a second here. Sometimes the computer acts a little weird. Anyway, the one obtained by the American Meteor Society has gone viral, with close to 100,000 views. Because of the moon phases, a full moon on September 20th, there was a limited opportunity to view meteors between the moon set and dawn, but dozens of stargazers were able to spot meteors. Reminds me a little bit about the full eclipse, the solar eclipse, where people would go to nearby Nashville and see the sun completely blocked out. Cool things in the atmosphere, in the weather, and many times it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. Now, with the eclipse, people could plan on it. They were making vacations, and, you know, Nashville, it's 6-7 hours away, so you could go to a relatively nearby area and view this, and, of course, view it partially here in central and mid-Ohio. But with these fireballs and these meteor shows, sometimes you never quite know. So, if you are interested in seeing this stuff and you want to document it, again, to look at it later for your own purposes or to show somebody, certainly whipping out the phone with the camera and videoing equipment, I guess that's a word, is certainly a good thing to do. Adam here on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. All kinds of interesting news stories that certainly have tickled my fancy, and we like to share them with you. If you are an Apple user, you know that MacBooks and iPhones and iPads are rather cool, powerful devices, and it seems like every year Apple goes into its bag of tricks and finds more things that you can do with these devices and some more features. Earlier this month, at an online event, Apple refreshed its MacBook Pro line of laptop computers and introduced two new processors. Of course, I need to ask what kind of a price they're introducing, but I guess money is no object if you are a true Apple aficionado. Apple also introduced a new version of its AirPods wireless earbuds. They added a low-cost tier to its music service and brightened up their HomePod smart speaker line with some new colors. The new MacBook Pros are offered in 14-inch and 16-inch models. Both have Liquid Retina XDR displays. And you might ask, what exactly would be the wallet damage? Well, $19.99 for the 14-inch and $24.99 for the 16-inch. So not too bad, but definitely more than my salary on a monthly or weekly or even a semi-monthly basis. Two new processors were also unveiled by Apple. The M1 Pro supports up to a 10-core CPU. 10 cores, that certainly is a lot of processing power. And a 16-core graphics processor unit, a GPU, as well as up to 32 gigabytes of unified memory. That computer would certainly be a workhorse and a very powerful system, to put it mildly. The M1 Max supports a 10-core CPU, the central processor, the main processor of the computer, and up to a 32-core graphics processor and 64 gigabytes of unified memory. Another cool thing about these gadgets, and again, considering that they're $19.99 and $24.99, they had better be cool. They can get up to 21 hours of battery life. That's pretty good. On the connectivity front, they have an HDMI port, 3 Thunderbolt 4 ports, not to be confused with our very old Thunderbolt Patterson, those are Thunderbolt 4 ports, an SD card reader, and a headphone jack. The much maligned touch bar has been replaced by function keys on the laptops. Kevin Kruel is a principal analyst with Turios Research, a national high-tech research and advisory firm. He said in some ways, Apple has gone retro with the new Macs. They brought back MagSafe. They brought back ports, an HDMI port and an SD card port, and the touch bar is gone. So I think people have complained about some of these so-called improvements that Apple has made, and they prefer the previous, or what you might call legacy, design and features, and I would agree. Give the people what they want, especially when you're going to fork over $2,000 for a new computer. The retro changes, according to the expert Kevin Kruel, may mark a change in attitude by Apple. He said they seem to be more sensitive to feedback from their customers, that some of their innovations were actually not that innovative. Yes, you prefer the way it was before. And that was similar with Windows 8. They took away the Windows button, saying that nobody uses it. Well, everybody I know uses the Windows button. In fact, that was one of the best features of XP and 7. They take it away in Windows 8. The people say that was a stupid idea, and they bring it back. So sometimes you got to listen to what your users have to say. And it's always good to have these experts making analyses. He also said that Apple's obsession with ultra-thinness also seems to be gone. He said there must be some changes in the Apple design group because they're not obsessed with making things as thin as possible. They're actually focused on functionality over form. Tim Bajarin, he is from Creative Strategies, a technology advisory firm in California. He said this new M1 processor gives Apple's laptops a leg up on a Windows-based laptop. What they've done with the M1 chip is significant. Again, very powerful, 10-core processor. He said they've put themselves so ahead of the PC processor guys because of what they've done with advancing performance while lowering the energy draw. He said they're creating the highest level of performance with 70% less power draw. That is stunning. With these MacBooks, Apple is getting more ambitious with their silicon, added Mark Vena from Smart Tech Research in San Jose. He said they are competing very strongly against the x86 processors, again, the ones that you would use in a Windows computer, although you could also use them for Linux or some other kind of open source operating system. In many cases, they will exceed the performance of those processors because the Mac operating system is optimized for Apple's processors. That's hard for Intel to do because OEMs create so many flavors of Windows. Ross Rubin. We quote him regularly, and he is someone who seems to be a bit obsessed with the letter R because he is from Reticle Research in New York City. He explained that the new MacBooks are promising the performance of a leading PC laptop with discrete graphics, but with a fraction of the power consumption. Applications that take advantage of rendering and intensive computational tasks can be done on battery power much longer than on a PC, because PCs have to cut back on performance when using battery power. Bob O'Donnell is from Technalysis Research in California, a technology market research and consulting firm. He is very impressed with the new MacBooks. The benchmark numbers Apple threw out there looked great. It'll be interesting to see how other people benchmark it. He acknowledged that the new MacBooks are not a mass market item. They are for creative people, making movies, games, and audio recordings. Again, $2,000 and up. So yes, this is not something that you would just buy on a whim. You would put thought into it and definitely make an allotment in your budget to do this big computer upgrade. The estimated number of laptops sold by Apple, 7 million per quarter. About a million of them are sold to creative people. So 1 in 7, which I think is logical. With the iPhone and iPad, the pro versions of these products offer features that non-creative people can find value in, according to Ross Rubin. That's less the case with the MacBook Pros. The processing power is so beyond what the average user would need. Laptops with the processing power and graphics capabilities of the new MacBooks would attract a gaming following in the Windows world, but that's unlikely with the new Apple laptops, according to Ross Rubin. We didn't hear a word about games for the Mac because even machines as powerful as these aren't going to attract a lot of high-end games. The volume of Macs is too low to be a target for those developers. The new MacBooks can support a lot of memory, but Kevin Kruel cautioned buyers to be careful when considering how much memory you want with your new laptop. The downside to unified memory is it isn't upgradable. When you buy a MacBook Pro with 32 gigabytes, that's all you're going to have. You cannot upgrade. With the new chips, Apple seems to be avoiding a big mistake made by PC makers. Over the last 25 years, Intel and, to a lesser extent, their competitor, AMD, have come out with too many clock speeds. Clock speeds confuse consumers, especially if there's only minor differences in the chips. Apple is keeping things nice and clean. They have the M1, M1 Pro, and M1 Max. Good, better, and best. The model has been around forever. People understand it. So all kinds of new stuff, fancy-dancy processors and computers aimed at creative-type people from our friends over in Cupertino, California, Apple Computer. We will talk more about that on a future show. We will get together again Tuesday, which is tomorrow, the 26th of October, between about 2:13 p.m. and 3 here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, taking your telephone calls, talking interesting news stories. And with Adam, there's not only a surprise at least every 23 minutes, but there are also what I call obligatory wisecracks. You're welcome to send me an email on our infamous private email server. And the address is adam@wwgh1071.com. If you ever miss a program on this radio station, that's okay. We won't spank you or anything. You can go to our website at wwgh1071.com and look for the show archives section. Shows from Glenn, Linda, Pastor Steve, Pastor Craig, and much more are available for your listening enjoyment, as well as a separate section for my programs, archives from the late, great Charlie Evers, and, of course, the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears. As they say in Radio Land, don't touch that dial. Linda Sims comes up in approximately 5 hours and 15 minutes. Have a great rest of your Monday. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.